a message in the last year, and I never thought I'd be up here for any length of time. You people are scaring me. What we want to talk about today is a Bible study, and just one section of it, done by Matt Chandler. It's a Bible study about Philippians, and the series is called To Live is Christ, To Die is Gain. And just let me get my little electronics working here. Oh, come on. Okay, pick up the Wi-Fi signal. You know, it was much easier when I did this with paper and pencil. I should have just stuck with paper and pencil, right? The more technology, the more glitches. I thought this would be so much easier. Oh, and by the way, we're going to watch Matt's video on this section. It's called The One God Opposes. And I've instructed different people that if any of you try and leave because it's a little lengthy, they do have tasers in the back. Oh, just teasing. No tasers. We're not like that. But it will be a little longer than normal, so I apologize for that at the beginning. But it's such a good message, and I think it's something we all need to hear. Okay. All right. So, what Matt's going to talk about, as my Kindle here is spinning in every direction so that I can't read it. Okay, I apologize. Matt's going to talk about humility and service. And I thought that maybe we should have what the definition of those two words are. The Webster definition of humility is a modest or low view of one's importance. The biblical definition is, humility is a quality of being courteously respectful of others. Wow, that's really different. Huh? Low self-esteem or being courteously respectful of others. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then when I went back and watched Matt again, I got a new view of what he was talking about. And the Webster definition of service is the action of helping or doing work for someone. The biblical definition, coming from the New Testament, is the word dianakon, from the root meaning to run errands. And so attendance, aid as a servant, ministry, relief, and hence services, compares to the English word, guess what? Anybody guess? Deacon. Now I know why I feel run down, miserable, because I'm running errands, doing attendance, aid as a servant, ministry relief, and hence the word service. Didn't know that. Never knew that that's what that word meant. Okay, now I just have a small little bio about Matt himself. Matt was born June 20th, 1974. He's the leader of teaching at the Village Church, a Southern Baptist church in Flower Mound, Texas, and the president of the Acts 29 Network. So now we're going to watch. Oh, no, we're not going to yet watch the video. I lied. Sorry. I'm going to read you, because he doesn't read it in the entirety, I'm going to read you Philippians chapter 2, which he's talking about. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each of the interests of others. in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in the heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my friends, if you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. That's Philippians 2, 1 through 18. Okay, can we play the video now?
How'd you like that? Pretty good. Actually, I think that lesson was given in a Sunday school class back in 2013, and I think the youth group did it, didn't they? Yeah, it's a really good thing. Very, very practical, very pragmatic, something that's really good for us to do. And by the way, this is just one of thousands of other lessons and Bible studies that are on right now, that thing that you guys signed up for. I downloaded it and saw it when they first asked me to talk about it. So it's available for you guys too. How cool is that? It's very cool. A lot of really nice stuff that we have on right now. Now, right now, what we have is this. At the onset of this video, if you remember, and it wasn't very obvious because so many cool things get said later on, that there's two questions that Matt Chandler asked. He asked, what is the foundation of our humility, and are there examples of humble lifestyles in the Bible that we can follow? Now, I figured I'd start things off a little bit in the right mode because I don't want to be called a sellout. So if you notice, I dress like the guy. This is the Matt Chandler lookalike contest. Hopefully I qualify, so I'm not a sellout, all right? Okay, first question of us. What's the foundation of our humility? And he made it very plain that it's Jesus Christ. God is the foundation of our humility. And why is that? Because that's actually God's character. Here you've got the creator of the universe, all power, all awesomeness, all goodness, all authority, everything, the one creature, or the one, not a creature, but the one being or personality in the universe that shouldn't be humble and has no reason to because of his awesomeness and power, he is. It's his character. And because we're the creation of that character, wouldn't you think that that character, this character trait would be something that would be programmed into what it is he's doing? And it's exactly the case. Here is the God who created the universe serving his creation. It's just flabbergasting. It is counterintuitive to everything that we, as fallen, corrupt, and twisted people, just can't get our head around that. How can the most awesome thing in the universe want to serve us? And not only that, want to fellowship with us too? We are seriously messed up. We really, really are. Sin is so contrary to God and his nature. Why would he ever want to have anything to do with us? We are literally repulsive to the very character he has. Wherever he is good, we're not. Wherever he is righteous, we're not. Wherever he is humble, we are certainly not. We are almost the antithesis to what God is because of our fallen nature. Nonetheless, he wants to come and serve us. How awesome is that? It's incredible. But that actually is the foundation of humility. It's God's character in the creation that he had made. Makes perfect sense. Second question was, are there examples of humble lifestyles in the Bible that we can follow? So, yes, there were. What he gave is three examples. If you remember from the Bible, he talked about the Apostle Paul, who expressed that if his life had been poured out to death, or poured out, or sacrificed, or whatever, messed up, but if it was for the sake of the faith of the people in the Philippian church, he counted it all worth it, all valuable. That was a good example. It's a good example of people we know from history, even people we know in this church, who've had to go through really dreadful things and hard things, where we're serving our loved ones, we're serving people in the church, we're serving them at our own, to our own hurt physically even, because it's something that we really want to do because we want to serve them. We do, even at our own expense. And if it's just for one soul or one person to either be healed or to come to faith in Jesus Christ and salvation, it's worth it. What are you willing to do to have, or what are you willing to suffer to have, even one person come to faith in Jesus Christ and pass from death into life? You're willing to do all kinds of stuff, and you will, because that's the kind of character that God has put into you from question number one. He also gave another example of Timothy, who had faithfully served others in the spreading of the gospel, and also the third guy was Epaphroditus, the one who risked his life for the faith in Christ and who worked diligently in serving others. That was the third guy. So those are the examples that answered his question number two regarding the purpose of the entire thing. But he went farther than that. He also went and talked about other examples of people in his church. The guy with the wet shoes, right? He parked someplace because nobody else should have to go through that. So he went through it for them. Wow, that's pretty awesome. The pastor, who, although it's not in his job description, is a part of the parking crew, which I can imagine would be a really crappy job. But he did it. These are examples of what he wanted to show to us is how we should be. So, going further than that, I shouldn't really do this. I'm not going to really, actually. We have examples of that kind of service in this church. And you guys all know it. We're not a huge congregation anymore, and there's probably more jobs and roles in our church than we have people to fill. We know that. So there's some double duty going on and a lot of other things. But the people who serve in the food preparation downstairs for the coffee hour, people who serve faithfully and diligently every Sunday for music ministry and running the service, people that are taking care of the electronics, people who are doing all kinds of things, taking care of the kids downstairs in the nursery. There are people serving right now to their own hurt that we really need to appreciate and know that they are actually acting in accordance with what we are told we should do in living as a servant for the rest of our people. Now, I also don't want to turn this into a big commercial for later on today and this week, but out here we have a house that needs to get prepared for the new pastor. And there are faithful people who are diligently working long hours and volunteers that have actually made a big transformation in that room, that house, but it still needs some. So this is an opportunity to do that. Now, that was a commercial that was not asked to be done by anybody, but I did it anyway because it is also something that pleases God by us pouring ourselves out and paint and doing the things that have to be done for our pastor to come in here and to also serve us. He's not the king. Wait. He's the king family, but he's not the king. We're not here to serve him. He's actually here to serve us. I appreciate that very much because I know the family and they're really, really awesome. Most of you guys met him too. But I would love to serve him because he's serving me. It's cool. Anyway, and I can serve him by pouring myself out and the paint too. Alrighty. So those are the two questions that were asked. Those are the examples. And a couple scriptures that popped into my head I was listening to. One is when it talks about how was God the foundation of our humility. It says from Matthew, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls." God tells us he is humble, he is lowly, he is the almighty God, omnipotent, powerful, creator of the universe, but he is meek and lowly. Wow, that is so awesome. And then from Micah for that question too, it says, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And furthermore, Timothy says, But godliness with contentment is great gain. When we live a life that's really turned over to Christ and is really bent on serving Him, to please Him out of love and service for what He's done for us, that is great contentment. Why would you want to have a bazillion bucks or a fancy house? That's all cool, but you know something? It's utterly vanity, like the guy said. Vanity, vanity, vanity. But serving God is not vanity. Serving God is substantive. It bears fruit. It bears fruit that lasts for eternity. Now, the big takeaway from this entire thing is in the form of a question. And that is, fundamentally, why are things not the way they're supposed to be? It's because, as a society, as a world, as individuals, we are very, very self-absorbed. Like the guy said, being self-sacrificing and giving ourselves to others, even to God, does not come naturally because of our fallen nature. We are self-absorbed. Now, Jesus was a human like we are. He was in a body like we are. He understands that. And that's why He has mercy toward us, because we don't know what it's like to live in somebody else's body. We don't know what it's like to be another person. So we're naturally, by virtue of, I guess you'd call it location, going to be physically selfish people. It's part of it. He gets it too, because He left His body and He's up in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, and we're still stuck in these shells here, right? So He gets it. He really does. But He does want us to be different. He does not want us to be self-absorbed like we would naturally have a propensity to do. So He's asking us to follow Jesus' example and make everything about Him. It's not all about us, which is basically a good way to put it in 3-4-word sentence what being not humble is. It's not about us. And if it's not about us, who is it about? It's about Him. We know that because the Bible tells us that. So, if it's all about Him, and we're all believers that want to serve our Lord, we want to please Him with what we do and be and are, we want to transform to be more and more like Him every day, if that's the goal, to be like Him and have it not be about us, how well do we know Him? Now, He knows us really well. The Bible tells us that every hair on our head has been numbered. He knows what we need before we even ask for it. He knows our thoughts. How scary is that? You're not going to hide anything from God, because He knows you through and through. And He knows what you're going to be and what you've been. It's an awesome thing how much God knows us. But how much do we know Jesus Christ? That's the question. And I know most people in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit of God living in your heart. You've passed from death to life through the transforming action of salvation. And it's all wonderful. And we all have various degrees of walk with God. Our maturity in Christ. Our closeness walk with Him. The fruit we bear is all an indication of how well we really, really know Him. So, closing this thing up, I'd like to have us stop and pray real quick here and to ask ourselves, how well do we know Jesus? We know about Him a lot. The Bible's very explicit about it. But that's not enough. How much do we know Jesus to the point where it is transforming us and causing us to bear fruit and be truly the kind of humble person He wants us to be? So we'll just pray and we'll close it up, this part of the talk anyway. Lord Jesus, we know all about You. Your word is true. Your word is explicit. Your word tells us everything we need to know about You as Your nature and who You are. But You want to know us in spite of the fact that we are fundamentally flawed. We have a fallen nature. Yes, we do have the Holy Spirit of God living within us and quickening us and causing us to act and purpose to do Your will. But we need to know You more. Jesus Christ, You. The person that we're going to be spending eternity with, the person who's got scarred hands and scarred feet from pouring Your life out for us. you are the person we want to really, really know, moment by moment, day by day. And Lord, we know that the closer we are to you, the more we know you, the more that our lives is going to reflect that fact, and we will bear fruit for the kingdom because of who you are and what you've done in our life. We pray, Lord Jesus, right now, as everybody's sitting here and thinking about this, please talk to us and show us in our lives what we need to know more about you with, what we need to know more about you that you want us to know that'll transform our lives. We just thank you for who you are and what you've done. We pray you bless the rest of this meeting today. And we ask for each one of us, Lord, that you would show us more and more to draw us closer and closer so that we will live a life that will be pleasing to you and truly humble like you. Jesus, you are our hero. I know it sounds funny, but it's true. We pray, Lord, that we will be like you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank you for that. It's an awesome message, and there's more like it on Right Now Media.